2024. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let our next guest have a guess as well. Cameron White is part of the team here in the Breakfast Club, and he's decided after 20 years he's had a gutful of playing cricket. He's hanging up the spikes for the final time. Welcome to you, Whitey.
Morning, half.
How old is Macaulay Culkin?
Whitey knows everything about everything, so I'll just go with something. I'll just go with 45, something close to Whitey.
Well, on this occasion, your man Adam doesn't know anything. Macaulay Culkin is having the big 40th birthday party today. Oh, 40.
I was going to say, you must be younger than us, because that's when I was a bit older than him when he was playing that role in Home Alone.
Yeah, but sometimes child actors are older than you think they are.
And that's true. Macaulay Culkin's
got up to some mischief later in life, which makes him look older than what he actually is, clearly.
Well, he's older than Cameron White.
He's done himself a mischief.
Although he hasn't played as much cricket as our man Cameron White, who's decided that that's enough. Finally, Whitey, that's enough. What tipped you over?
Well, yeah, I think you said it in the intro there, half. I think I probably had enough. So once you get to that stage, yeah, it's just probably... Look, to be honest, I was never probably going to play again this season, but I did a little... interview with my old friend Louis Cameron, who writes for cricket.com for Cricket Australia, the other day about the Sherrills Melbourne Stars, actually. And at the end of the interview, he asked me, you know, what I was up to next year. And I thought the whole interview was about, you know, the beginning of the Melbourne Stars and what was going on there and how that all went down. And then I just said, look, Louis, I'm probably not going to play again, mate. And, you know, I'll put this down on coaching. And then the next thing, Adam White sending me out a tweet, and I'm officially retired. So it sort of slipped out a bit quicker than I was hoping for, to be honest with you.
So really, it was Adam White who retired you?
Oh, between Louis Cameron and Adam White, they've got me.
Right. Well, you're a disgrace.
Yeah, well, I must confess, I was a bit surprised when I read the article, because I hadn't known that was definitely going to happen. So I thought it was all sort of stage managed, that was the case.
No, not at all. Not at all. It sort of snuck out. So Louis Cameron's done an absolute number on me there. But anyway, it had to come out at some stage.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, there you go. A bit speechless. Are you happy that you went and did that year at the Adelaide Strikers? Because obviously it was part of the process of, I guess, the transition from player to coach to get into a different environment. It didn't quite work out, but are you happy you did do that?
Well, it probably didn't work out for me from a playing point of view personally, but I think it did from a coaching point of view. Like, part of my role there was to do a bit of coaching, and I really enjoyed that, and I think the players did as well. So and I think I will probably need to do something like that if I want to continue on coaching. I can't, you know, sit here in Victoria for my whole career and think that, you know, that I can't experience, you know, a different, you know, set of people or a different different environment. So I think hopefully that'll hold me in good stead sort of going forward, you know, hopefully getting into some coaching at some stage.
Was there a moment, Cameron, that you knew that it was time to retire? I mean, obviously, maybe the way it was announced was a little bit different. I assume that you had some thoughts about it before that happened in that article. Was it your body? Was it you just had enough and you're ready to go on to something else? What was it that tipped you over the edge to that decision?
I think probably as I got a bit the last couple of years of my career, you know, when you're standing out in the field, especially in a Shield game, and the opposition are none for 250 or there, you know, especially when you're second or third day into the field, you've got nothing else to think about. You start thinking, oh, geez, what else could I be doing here? But, you know, little did I know that we were about to go into our second one of stage four lockdown, so maybe I should have tried to keep playing a bit longer.
What is top of the list when you were out in the field thinking, what else could I be doing? What were the top couple of things?
Well, fishing goes straight to the top of the list for me most of the time.
Fishing?
It's not fishing, it's probably golf, that's what I know. But,
Right. Well, yeah, there'll be plenty of time for that now.
Well, I wasn't allowed to, yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah, of course. Of course. How are you keeping busy? If you can't fish and you can't play golf and you're not cricketing, how are you coping with all this?
Well, luckily, my wife works a few days a week from home, so I'm daddy daycare most of the week these days. And then I'm actually doing the odd day or two on the tools for for a mate that's a builder, so I'm actually enjoying that, so it's going right.
Right, okay, good, yeah. Good.
Just the real good stuff, like just, you know, a bit of labouring, picking up, you know, on the wheelbarrow, shovel most of the day, digging holes, really the real good stuff.
Honest toil.
And the best thing is the Breakfast Club is being played on the construction site, I'm sure.
I would assume so, I assume so.
When you look back, Cam, what is it that you're most proud of? Because, you know, we talked about how much you've won, and a lot of that, when you've won, you've been a key part of that from a leadership perspective. You've been able to play for your country. You've broken all sorts of records domestically with what you've been able to do. What's the thing that stands out when you reflect back?
I think just the times you win, you play to win, you know, championships or trophies and things like that. So any of those sort of, you know, Sheffield Shield finals, you know, the bigger games that you get to play in along your career that you sort of, you know, you play well in and win and your team wins. So, yeah, just probably the moments. Obviously, the obvious ones, you know, playing for Australia and representing your country. So, you know, things you'll never forget. But, you know, most of the time it's just those, you know, the great wins that you have with your teammates and celebrating after. That's a great part of, you know, sport in Australia, and it was no different when I played my time playing cricket.
And I know that I've asked you this before, but now you've retired, you might answer it slightly differently. Do you think you played as much for Australia as perhaps you would have otherwise if you weren't captain of Victoria so early? And there's obviously the talk about you didn't bowl as much as perhaps you could have when you captained, and you came onto the scene more as a bowler than a batsman. Do you look back on that and think that that may have sort of stunted your international career a little bit?
It's a hard one to say, but I probably, throughout my career, always sort of, when I was asked that question, I probably always said that being captain at an early age and doing a fair bit of it never really, you know, hurt my game, but maybe, just maybe that, you know, looking back at it now and having, I felt as though I probably played almost at my best, you know, the last few years when I wasn't captain, so maybe, yeah, maybe that might have resulted in, if I wasn't as captain as much, I might have played a little bit more for Australia, but I wouldn't change anything, you know, from that point of view. You know, captaining Victoria was obviously a very big honour, so no, I might have, but I wouldn't change anything.
And your bowling? Like, you started as a bowling all-rounder and finished as pretty much a pure batsman. What happened?
over time, and I just, like, it was probably one of the interesting things that happened in my career was probably when I played my couple of test matches over in India. At that stage, I'd probably started to lose a bit of confidence in my bowling. So, weirdly, it was just a weird time to get picked for Australia when my bowling lifestyle was over. Started to, you know, as I said, you know, lost a bit of confidence in it. So, and as the result of that sort of series, I lost even more, especially towards the back end of that, you know, that series. So from there, I just, yeah, it was just basically a loss in confidence that I struggled with for the rest of my career to try and get that confidence back to allow me to bowl enough. So, you know, one of your questions there before was about, would have I bowled myself, you know, would have I bowled more if I wasn't captain? I don't think I probably wouldn't have, because I just didn't, by that stage of my career, I just didn't have enough confidence in my, you know, that part of my game. But I guess it just gave me a chance to really focus on batting and probably improve that side of my game. So it's probably just weird how it works out sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, and take us back to that time, Cam, you played those couple of test matches for Australia. What was that like? What were the challenges, and what were you trying to do mentally, physically, to try and get that opportunity? Was it a big focus for you to try and get back in there?
Yeah, obviously, I think every kid growing up wants to play test cricket for Australia. So it was definitely a focus for me. And then, you know, once I sort of got that opportunity, I was just really focused on doing my job. I think I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said that my bowling was at that sort of stage. I played four test matches, and I don't think I bowled one variation across that whole series. I just tried to bowl the same ball every ball and just do my job for that series. So, yeah, no, it was obviously a big honour and all that sort of stuff. But it was huge. You know, I really felt the pressure, and something I can look back on, and, you know, you can't take away the baggy green cap, I guess.
No, and you'll have it forever, and long may you wear it at parties and just at home with a glass of red every now and then. I reckon it's a good idea. And I'll never forget the Ian Bell backhand run out the Gabba. Man, that was the one. That, for me, standout moment in the gully. Just the backhand flick. That was unbelievable.
That was half. That was absolute arse.
Don't ruin a good story with the truth, buddy. Goodness me.
I know. I would like to say, though, I'd practice that and there was a bit of skill involved there, but that, I'm not sure. Yeah, they sort of cut away, didn't they? They didn't, it looked like it just bounced once or twice into the stump. They just rolled all the grass the whole way.
It doesn't matter. You sent him packing and celebrated accordingly. Good on you, Whitey. Nice to catch up anyway, but congratulations on a fantastic contribution to the game of cricket here in Australia and across the globe as well. We'll look forward to catching up soon.
No worries, thanks.